132. This congenial scene. Time marches on, apparently waits for no one. Not beautiful losers or elusive muses. As evening settles on this particular public house, the Wilting Thistle, in the neighbourhood of Hackney, we take up positions at the bar and nod our greetings to everybody present, including the ill and elderly man rugged up at a corner table with his terminal predicament and untouched ale. Thankfully, Pedro, my most recent acquaintance in this rambling tale, has dropped his sack of tools on the floor and is finally liberating his head from the motorcycle helmet, shaking out his coppery locks and setting a jingling the glittering adornments pinned to his black leather jacket, like a tinkling of applause. The young woman standing there at the bar also has hair of a reddish hue, though of a wilder species, and perhaps because of this, Pedro nods at her in concord or solidarity and smiles, the neat brush of his moustache miraculously stretching out almost from ear to ear. And in this way, conversation ensues, and at once everyone is at ease in this congenial scene. The woman's name is Diana, just like the statue standing there in Hyde Park, in darkness now. Back in chapter 124, the Huntress Fountain, the one that brought out in me a curious mix of yearning, melancholy and admiration, in no particular order, on account of her grace, strength and resolve. A coincidence indeed that just a few hours further down the day I should come upon a flesh and blood Diana, also lithe and somewhat poised, but apparently not in possession of arrow and bow. However, leaning to one side, I do note wooden sticks stuck into the back of her trousers, like arrows in a quiver, but on closer inspection I see that they are in fact a pair of drumsticks. Hallelujah! Is there no end to my good fortune today? The house, Pedro, the typewriter, and now this, a woman with drumsticks, here in front of me. What more could one wish for in this often mentioned quest to find like souls, cohorts to be in cahoots with? At times like these, it really does seem that a cosmic plan exists and that there is synchrony, sympathy and some force of good, just as there is a force of evil. Joy is restored. Life-affirming, you could say, as if we rely on such events to prove that we are alive. In this vein, we get on and engage, exchange experiences, illusions and illusions, filling each other in on a variety of relevant and irrelevant topics, skipping over sound advice on effective squatting, to soon come upon how literature and life get on with music and what exactly it is that songs want from us and what we want from them. The little money I have in my pocket turns from notes to coins as we leap from theme to theme, from round to round, until we are trapped in the whirlpool of ale, spouting up from some bottomless well and out the ale pump into our jars, then pouring from our jars into the bottomless vessels we are. It's like a tide coming in to cover up a ragged littoral zone. It certainly puts a shine on things, for a time at least. We leave that premises well after lockdown, with the blackout curtains firmly drawn to simulate a state of closure, well after the specified time. Diana's address is scribbled on a hand in case it should be needed further down the line. We bid farewell to this new Diana and her quiver of drumming sticks and turn once more to see the house there before us again. More crooked than it was before, if at all possible, listing somewhat to one side. The world rocks considerably as we mount the stairs. Pedro holds up the key, pointing it at the newly installed lock, but not achieving any kind of penetration. As the key wanders here and there, playfully, "Let me help," I offer, guiding the thing into its lodging. At times like these, a team effort is required, as two heads can be better than one, and four hands better than two. 'Tis late and we are weary now, so we lie on our backs directly on the floor, as there are no beds or blankets to be had. Both looking out through a broken pane to a distant shard of moon, hanging in the night sky in a gently glowing haze of its own, a sheer negligee it's wearing. This night, a gentle glow, nearly a halo, lingering there above the blackened silhouette of the row of houses opposite. I feel totally lost and also a little found, a little at home. Can that be? Lying here in this decrepit, heartless house, little more than a ruin really, but providing shelter all the same. Despite its present and past, its lives and its ghosts, long gone or still present. Abandoned houses are museums of sorts, filled with airs and traces of days lived within them. This room with a fireplace was a bedroom, but whose? Were they happy here or sad? Was there love and laughter, hardship and tears? In what proportions did they come? How were they as the world rolled on and eventually dislodged them, the people who lived here, before it shook them off and trundled on its way? These instant and unoriginal musings occupy my head. Fantasy or curiosity, I suppose. Emotional spillage and of little use to anybody. You could write a song about it, but what purpose would that serve? Just an empty husk of a thing, loitering and lingering as Pedro begins to snore.
Thank you.